I'm feeling very moved by what's happening over there. So let's just close our eyes for a minute, and any tears that you have, let them be rain for the rainforest. Tears of love to put out the fires. So thank you, everybody. Welcome, welcome. Okay, so today is the last of our official master classes, although we're going to actually make next week a master class also. So I'll repeat this again at the end in case anybody joins us late, but next week, what we will do, because it will be our final integration session, we'll meet on this same link, on our masterclass link. That, so you'll sign in on this same link that you signed in today. And then we'll do breakout groups for part of the time to have a little bit of closure with our integration groups. And then we'll come back together as a big group. So we're going to use our last session, and I'd like to make our last session a 2-hour session. So please plan on a little bit more time, because we're going to do a review and an overview. Can everybody put themselves on mute, because we're getting a little bit of ambient noise? Thank you. So we'll do a little bit of review at our big masterclass group next week, which will be our final session. So please sign into this same link that you signed in today rather than your individual integration group. And then we'll do a breakout with your integration group teachers, and then we'll come back together as a whole group. Okay, so we'll have a way to have closure with both our big group and our small group. Is that making sense to everybody? Yes, I just see some head nods, so I know you're all on board. Okay, good. Good, good. And I'll send out a reminder too next week and about that. And just as a heads up, I was made aware, this wasn't in my consciousness, of that next week is Labor Day weekend. So I know that's a holiday weekend for a lot of people. It's a travel weekend. If that's a real problem for somebody, please let me know, and maybe we can do a little bit of a makeup the following week. So just shoot me an email or a personal message me or something, and let me know if that's an issue for anybody. But that will be our last session. And then I will talk a little bit more today about what we can do next to stay connected, to continue to stay connected. And I'll talk more about that next week also, so that we can keep our momentum going and we can keep our growth going. Okay. So welcome back, everybody. Carol, you're kind of dark. I'm wondering if we can get a little bit more light on your face. And I think everybody else, I can see pretty much okay. So let's just do a quick check-in, how you're doing with where you are right now. We're going to launch into the rigid structure today. And just a quick, maybe 30-second check-in that Lynn, do you want to get us started?
Yeah, it's interesting. The moment you mentioned it, I went, oh, this explains a lot. As my roommate Kimberly will remember at the rigid session, I became violently ill and missed most of that class. Well, I woke up this morning and I am very ill. And so I told Laura, I said, I may take my camera off. You won't see me. I will be here, but I wanted to let you know if you don't see me, that is why. And so I had permission from her, because I know she really likes to see our faces, but I just didn't even put that together until you mentioned that. And I went, oh, what is it about? And actually, just as I said that, like you tell us with our clients, the moment I said what's going on, the answer came to me. So I'm sure I'll have opportunity to talk about that later.
Good. I'd love to hear that.
Yeah.
You know, it's so interesting and kind of ironic that oftentimes we miss the weekend we most need because there's something that shows up subconsciously in our psyches about it. So thanks, Lynn, for sharing that and also putting those pieces together. I'm looking forward to hearing more about that. Okay, Jeanette, do you want to do a little check-in?
Hi, everybody. I can relate with Lynn. I can remember taking these courses and being really sick that weekend or something and thinking, what the heck? And then I realized after we did it, I'm like, ah, all right. I made that fit that little piece of the puzzle, but I'm doing good this time. I've really come a long ways.
Yeah, you have indeed. Thank you, Jeanette. Okay, Lori.
Yeah, I don't have much to say. Ridge is probably the one I understand the least, because I am just so anti-rule, but I didn't used to be. So there's stuff there for me.
Yeah. It'll probably get more clear as we go. Thank you, Lori. Roma.
So reading about the rigid pattern and really getting into the description of it, I just feel like, I've been like, coasting the last couple of weeks in the sense of just keeping really superficially busy and not really, I can't seem to get deep down beyond a point. So I'm thinking there's something there that I really have to get. So in my homework, guess what? I finished my homework a week early. So I'm like totally in without realizing. I just mixed up the dates. But I was feeling like I kind of put myself as a little bird. And I feel like I'm just looking down at all the stuff that's going on. And I'm just wondering, am I just kind of sinking in with each of the patterns? Is that a merging thing? Like, I'm so confused about the whole thing. So then I remember that you said, don't try to put labels on anything. So I'm just watching everything and just observing that little bird sitting on the top of my cabinet. And I'm just kind of observing what's going on. So that's what's going on with me.
Great. Thanks for that share. And you actually described a number of the rigid traits. So interestingly enough, but again, we're not trying to dissect it too much. So I'm glad you're doing that. Just kind of observing. Beautiful. Thank you. Okay, Chris.
I traveled all day yesterday. I'm visiting my family. Just interesting, when I was reading about the rigid pattern, I realized that we have a lot of that in our family. And got a couple OCD people, like really technically OCD people in our family. And even though it doesn't mention that as kind of being connected, it feels very much like it is. So
I agree. Yeah, it's very much an outgrowth of the rigid structure. So I think you're right on. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank
but
you.
I'm doing good. Thanks.
Good. Thanks, Chris. Okay, Sarah.
I feel like I'm embodying the rigid today very well. it's interesting. I was reading about it earlier this week and just got really grumpy and tightened up. And then this morning I woke up early to read some more of the chapter and was planning to, before I went to my meditation class, and just got immediately tightened up and grumpy. And then I was running kind of late to meditation. And then the meditation, it was like, I'm going to fast forward this meditation. I'm going to go ahead and get the download that I feel like it's guided, like that he's building up to. And I ended up thinking of my to-do list. And if I leave this meditation early, then I can get all these things checked off before class. So I wrapped up. So I sped up the meditation, wrapped it up, and went and got my to-do list checked off. But I'm just kind of like uptight and grumpy and feeling very rigid.
Yeah. Good. Great description. Thank you for that. Okay. All right, Sarah. Carol.
I'm doing good. I've been noticing that my consciousness is a little more on just the whole different five character styles. And so when I'm interacting with someone, I'm watching my behaviors and I'm observing their behaviors and thinking like, okay, let's see. I think I might be coming from this place in myself. And then I'm trying to figure out what they might be as far as a pattern. And it's not real easy because I think we all have little elements of all of them. And so, just because somebody is feeling their anger doesn't mean they're aggressive.
Right.
You know, so that's, I've just been, curious and exploring the whole topic.
Yeah. Can we get you in a little more light? I don't know if that's possible or not, but it's so hard to see your face.
I've got all the lights on that I have in the room.
Okay.
The blinds, but I don't know that that's going to.
Actually, I think that did help. I think it did a little bit. I'm not sure. Anyway, that's all right. We'll just do the best we can with you. I think what you're saying is, one of the things that happens is the more familiar we become with the patterns, the more that certain pieces will kind of fall into place. You'll hear it in language or repetitive phrases. You'll see it in body postures. When we come together in November for the Transpersonal Energy Counseling class, we'll be able to look more at full body types and the energy, the way we run our energy. That also really helps us to identify more easily and more clearly the different patterns. And again, it's not so important as to be able to like diagnose or identify or label ourselves or somebody else with this pattern. But what it does do is it helps us to make connection, to know how to talk and be received more comfortably, to build more trusting bonds when we know what or how a person is wired to be receptive to the to input that we're giving or receiving from them. So for ourselves and from them, why we might have more difficulty with certain personality types than others. All of this becomes so much more clear. And the good news about it for us who want to have a practice or even just successful relationships with our family members is that it starts to show us where I'm stuck myself, and it broadens my ability to communicate effectively, to keep open-hearted with a broader range of people. You know, like one example I like to give is, you know, you might be at work with five different personalities and, you know, you might think Joe is just terrific and so fun and so funny. And Bob over here thinks Joe's a total asshole. And you don't get why Bob thinks Joe is an asshole. But you think, you know, Cindy's an asshole. And, you know, Joe gets along great with Cindy. And it's like, why is that, right? So this is what these personality patterns really help us to identify is where and why and how I get stuck with certain personalities. And with others, it's really super easy. So what that does is it broadens our ability to work with a much bigger range of potential clients, to get along much better with all of our extended family members, to understand why or where or how their wounds are, where they're coming from. And so this is so empowering for the success of your life and your relationships. And that's what's useful about it, not being able to label somebody necessarily, but to be able to kind of begin to get a sense of different strategies that we can use and where and how we might be being triggered. The best place to start is with yourself, to notice. Like, I love that analogy you gave, Roma, of being the little bird up there, just kind of watching and starting to really be that self-observer, that objective observer, watching yourself and your own reactivity is probably one of the greatest things you can do with this to start out. So that was a big mouthful, but thanks for bringing those points up, Carol. Okay, Amy.
So I was going to say something similar to you, Laura. I had a hard time working with clients one-on-one, and I knew that I was having a hard time with it. And that's why I wanted to start this course, because I saw that this course may help me. So for the last week, working one-on-one with my clients, it's been just wonderful. It's exactly the breakthrough that I needed, because I haven't been getting triggered by them, but I've been able to facilitate help and healing with them by not resisting in myself and being very mindful and present. And then in return, it shifts their energy to follow or just do the same, you know, because like attracts like.
Yeah. Beautiful. That's so great. Beautiful. Glad to hear it, Amy. Thank you for that, for sharing that. Okay, Jenny.
Hi, Laura.
Hi.
Okay, so when I woke up, I was doing a little bit of self-reflection with knowing that this module is coming to an end. So I'm very surprised. I realized I have shared a lot of the things I don't necessarily feel so proud of. and these are the things where that's part of me that are not very glorious. But I'm amazed that I was able to share so much. So I just want to thank you for holding such a safe and non-judgmental space for us to do this type of work. And I think it's just such a breakthrough for me, because I don't think I would be able to let go of a lot of ego and elevate this self-spiritual growth process if I have not shared or acknowledged this kind of a dark side of me.
Yeah,
and not in a very critical way. It's just kind of a self-realization.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so great. Thank you for sharing that. And thank you for your bravery and also your modeling and your willingness to do that, to be vulnerable, to share that sort of dark side. Because guess what? We all have that. All of us, every single one of us. Nobody doesn't have that. And what takes the charge out of it, what minimizes it, what allows us to be more free of it is your very willingness to do that, to name it. It takes it just makes us less fearful of it and normalizes it and enables us to be much freer of it. So thank you for that, Jenny. And I just am very moved and really see the growth in you as a result.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Laura. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Kimberly.
So I'm really trying to embody this pattern right now, because I have so much going on in my world, and this pattern, I maybe have a little bit of these naturally have a little bit of this in me. It's such a great tool to draw upon, right? To be able to be organized and to manage your tasks really well. And so that's where I'm at. I'm loving revisiting this pattern again and trying to cultivate some of these tools that this pattern does so well to manage my crazy schedule. So that's where I'm at. And my internet is really unstable, so I might sign off and come back on. So if that happens, that's why.
All right. Thanks for the heads up on that. And thanks for the reminder about the gifts. We'll talk more about the gifts too, because there's some incredible gifts with this pattern. Mm-hmm. So great. All right. Valerie.
Well, this is one of my primary patterns, my top two. So it's really good to go over it again and to learn more about it and to learn to use the gifts and get beyond some of the limiting factors. So I'm looking forward to learning more about that. Interesting, Lynn, and Jeanette, that I'm having sinus problems today and sore throat too, but I didn't think about it being tied to this class. So we'll see.
Yeah, it's really interesting, isn't it? You know, and we'll talk more about that too, how the rigid copes with being faced with not being able to be perfect, you know, or to be in full compliance to follow the rules and the order and the structure. So yeah, there's some interesting things that show up around that. Okay, Gail.
Good morning. So I definitely have some rigid pattern in me for sure. I find that I go into it more as there's more chaos around me, things that I can't control, then I kind of bat down and try to control whatever I can control. So one of the interesting things have been my son has read parts of the book, and he was delighted on the exercise of with all the spelling mistakes. So that's how he sees the world. And he was delighted to be able to share that with me. So it's nice that people want to be understood, you know, and I kind of, that was like a little aha moment that it's, I think that's part of this being this class is that you have a piece of understanding of where somebody's perspective is coming from. So that was quite fun, actually.
Oh, that's so great. I love when I hear that family members are picking up the book, you know, it's just so because they're seeing, you know, they're seeing things happening in you, in all of you, and they're noticing that. And it's like, what is in this thing? Like, what's the deal with this book? Right. So that's great. That's just so great. So good for him and good for you.
Share, it was really funny. We at the one of the past classes, all three of us, our family, sat around and read the descriptions. You know how they have just the summaries?
Yeah.
And we laughed so hard and on things that sound ridiculous, but we had some fun with it. So
that's great.
Yeah.
How old is your son, Gail?
He's 13.
Oh, wow. What a great age to be exposed to this. I mean, that's just terrific. Thanks for sharing that. Okay, Janine.
Yeah, I always have to be right, you know. I don't understand illogical thinking, and I say that to people. It's just logical. What's wrong with you? I'm very verbal about it. And I need specific directions. And then if I find that I can't do it, then I'll just walk away from it because I can't make mistakes. That's just not allowed. And I think I figured out that, like, my body and pain, I think I'm angry because I've allowed my body or my brain to slow down, and so my body still doesn't know what to do with it, because when I used to get angry, I'd go clean. You know, I'd make everything perfect around me, because if everything's perfect around me, then life will be perfect, right?
Mm, yeah.
So, but that's not happening, so this would be very interesting to hear from you today, especially the boxes. I don't understand the boxes, how we do that.
Yeah. Thanks for bringing up those points. Those are all great points and so appropriately applicable to this pattern. Yeah, great. Thanks, Janine. Okay, Ritu.
So I haven't had a chance to read through the chapter because I was still going through the parts of the treatment where I was just supposed to be resting. And I actually want to share that this is probably in two decades that I feel like so rested and grounded. Like my whole like anxiety and those things have come down like from like 8 or 9 on a scale of 1 to 10 to like 3 or 4. Like that's the level of difference that I notice. But I want to share something about the aggressive pattern. Like a lot of the wounding that probably happened in my childhood was due to the aggressive pattern. And that's my dad, like, you know, the primary caretaker. And I'm currently in India with him. And I actually noticed that he still has this, like puts out his charge, like many times a day, like the episodes happen in our household, like. So I noticed that I started seeing a 4 or 5 year old in him, you know. So earlier, like, I used to be so scared of him, like I would lose myself completely and I would like collapse. And now I realized I don't have to do anything different. Like, this is like his wound, right? Basically that, you know, he's doing it in a certain way. And so I actually just started to tolerate that better. And that's a huge, huge, huge breakthrough for me, because I've always struggled with aggressive pattern people around me and how little I become, and I'm just collapsed completely. Like, and I can't tolerate their charge. So, and then I'm able to like tolerate it and then still be with him. Like, he's completely bedridden now, and I'm just so thankful to God that I get time to spend with him, you know, at this stage of his life. But then this whole change of energy amongst us, like, because of me learning all of these and practicing the tools, is wonderful, because this is a totally new way for me to be with him, which I've never experienced in my entire life. So this is really wonderful.
Yay. Wow. I love the success stories today. This is so great. And it's so true. And I love what you said too. And this is probably the thing that you said is the thing that has helped me most with aggressive pattern people, is to just see the 5-year-old that's behind that behavior. Mm-hmm. And that really is their 5-year-old acting out. And if you, even the logic that you hear them spew when they're angry is really like that of a 5-year-old. I find usually it's like, this isn't fair, and I told you not to do that. And, you know, like the language that comes out, it's like really like a 5-year-old. So it fits so perfectly.
Yeah, I actually went and told him that today, like when he was like calm, I went and I said, Dad, you are still like 4 or 5 year old, because the moment like no one's paying attention, you start screaming, and he started laughing.
That's great. That's great. That's great. Thank you for that, Ritu. Okay, Valerie.
There you go. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
What that actually just brought tears to my eyes, and just the impact that this class has had is having on so many people, and especially with those close relationships that are so, can be so tumultuous, like with your father. So for me, I haven't had the chance to read this chapter yet, because I'm still catching up on everything, but I'm really interested in learning more about the rigid pattern, because I feel I have a lot of it, but I try to balance it. And that comes out in my home life and at work. At work, I work in human resources, so basically I'm the keeper of the rules. And in at home, an example could be with my 2 children. My first son, he's 7 now, but when he was first born, I was like on a schedule. He was going to be on my schedule. And I was extremely rigid with everything I did. Is bath time, is feeding time, is whatever. And then I had my second child, and I learned that wasn't going to work, and became a little bit more flexible. But I think this rigid pattern is really persistent in me. I saw a graphic that you put out. I can't remember if it was during the last class or during the overview that I watched, but there was like a drawing of the way energy moves in each person. And I believe it's the rigid one that had like little ab marks on the woman, and she was holding her abs in. Was that this one?
Probably, yeah. So, it's a constriction in this one. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm. So anyways, I constantly do that. Mm-hmm. I saw that graphic and I was like, oh, that's me. I'm always trying to kind of stand up straight and hold everything together. And
yeah,
so,
that's it. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Valerie, for sharing that. It'll get more clear too as to why that happens for us. Yes. in a few minutes.
Okay.
Okay. Martha.
Okay. What are we tallying?
Just a check-in, just a brief check-in as to how you're doing so far with this pattern.
Okay, well, I realize that I'm the reason I'm rebellious is because of rigid people. my parents weren't rigid, but, you know, they did have rules which parents are supposed to have. But what I realize is I do get in relationships with people with this pattern, and I have to make it end because they try to smother me, control me, make, you know, they want me to take on what their opinions are. And I this is the one I retreat. Either I retreat or I become the back to the lion is what I call it. Not necessarily aggressive, but I have to show who's in charge. They tend to like want me to be them, which is merging, but rural people want you to follow their rules. And that doesn't work for everybody. Then, of course, the problem with it is not being rigid is the thing of where you're like maybe too loosey-goosey just to react to those rigid people.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? You know, and again, I would keep looking for the subtle ways in which whenever we have a strong reaction, right, remembering that when we have a strong reactivity to a particular pattern, there's probably some component of that that does live within us. It may be expressing more subtly, much more subtly for you. So, like, I'll just give you an example. This probably doesn't apply to you at all, perhaps, but for example, I know this one person was absolutely committed to that. I'm not rigid at all. And he was not. He was a slob and he was a mess everywhere in his life, except his car was pristine clean at all times. Like, you couldn't touch it. You couldn't put fingerprints on it. You couldn't, you know, so it's like, it was a very interesting thing. Like, there was that one place where he put all of his rigidity. Now, that's a sort of an external that's very obvious, but it may be just something to be curious about. The other thing, too, that happens with the rigid, and we'll talk more about this in a minute, is they can evoke a lot of feelings of competitiveness in other people. Like, so one of the things to notice is, what does each pattern evoke in you? Like you were saying, it evokes your rebelliousness, and different patterns do evoke different things in us. And there are reasons for that reactivity that we want to be really curious about and keep exploring deeply in. So thanks, Martha, for bringing all those points out. Those are great. Okay. Christina.
Hi, everyone. Hi. I definitely pattern big time. It's my secondary one, and my primary one is the merging pattern. And I feel like I've done a lot more healing around that one because it's the one that hurts the most. Whereas the rigid has kind of come in to sort of hold everything together, I think, especially when I'm in pain. And so I haven't done a lot of healing work around this one. I mean, I think it's this pattern is also what has made me a high achiever in life. Yeah. The highest degree in my field, and, you know, I've been a university professor for the past over a decade. And so I think I kind of need it, you know, to move forward. But I do want to learn how to keep it in balance, especially in the last few weeks. I've been really judgmental of myself because of this rigid, and it's coming a lot, actually, you know, since I have a 1-year-old, because there is a lot of chaos. So whenever there is chaos around her, I tend to become more rigid around someone else said feeding schedules, sleeping schedules, and, you know, the house and the area. So I want to learn how to let myself off the hook with this one while also sort of keeping it in check.
Yeah, good. Yeah. I really hear the like kind of tenderness around that as you talk about it. And I think you're bringing up some really good points too. And many of us have what I call a rigid overlay, which is what kind of you're describing, this overlay of rigidity over the merging, the more sort of vulnerable merging pattern. Some of us will have, like Janine, I think you were talking about, a rigid overlay over the aggressive pattern. And so some of us will do that, like have this as an overlay of protection and coping, and also the beautiful strengths that are cultivated from it, which we'll talk about more too in a minute. Okay, Pooja.
Okay, hi everyone. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, great. So I feel pretty good. I think for this pattern, when I receive it, like when I'm on the receiving end or around people who have this trait, I'm pretty sensitive to them. That's something that like, it's pretty blatant immediately recognizable in myself. So I'm just like read through, like I just try to remember, like, okay, how would a little kid look? Like, what kind of a childish behavior is kind of initiating this person to act in the way that they're acting, and why are they aggressive, and like, what does the child look like? And I think that's what I always try to fall back on, because I can't remember all the different variations. But with this one in particular, I realize I react pretty, like, different. Like, it's an immediate reaction with this particular personality when I'm around that kind of person. And I think it's because, although I also am like that somewhat, but when I'm on the receiving end of it, it's just a weird feeling. Like, when it comes to energy, I feel like it's kind of draining sometimes. It's a lot to, like, process, you know? Like, they take up a lot of space. So I feel like because I'm not in that role and I'm, like, sharing space with them, it's a little tricky.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? And Martha was kind of mentioning that, too. Like, what gets evoked in me? I know that there's one person that I do a particular service project with every week, who has a lot of rigidity, and I can really feel my own reactivity to this person too. And it's like, I'm working with it with myself, but boy, it's a challenge. Mm-hmm. So thanks for bringing that up. Okay. Jill.
Hi. I really can relate with this pattern. And I grew up with two parents who were in the rigid pattern, and I married someone that's in the rigid pattern. I am too, largely, meaning, but I see some of the other patterns too. I mean, the gifts of the pattern, I'm really comfortable with the gifts of the pattern more, when things get really messy and stuff, I tend to be more confused or things feel chaotic. So I'm more comfortable in the pattern, you know, with, you know, order and stuff like that. But I'm not always able to do it myself, you know, to actually be everything from that pattern, the gifts of that pattern. So, anyway, it's interesting to see where I've been with it, and I'm still learning more about myself.
Yeah, good for you. Every time we come back to these patterns, we're going to come to another layer of understanding around it. So great. Thanks, Jill. Mm-hmm. Okay, Angelica.
Okay. This week I didn't actually want to touch the book because last week I was like so hungover from the aggressive pattern. I was scared of picking up the book again. I was just like looking at it like, no, not going to open you. So, clearly I'm in contraction right now.
Yeah.
But the thing is, last week when I was reading the aggressive pattern, I did start, I was up late reading one night, and I did start the rigid pattern. And I think that's also part of my resistance. I'm like, oh God, I know this is just going to open up a whole Pandora's box, so I don't want to do it.
Yeah, it will indeed. So that's great though, that you're deep in your process. So, all right. So we're going to go into a screen share now with the PowerPoint and talk about and understand a little bit more about why and how this is happening. Okay. So here we are with the rigid energy pattern. The essence of the gift. They are masterful at working with form and structure and creating beauty. They can identify patterns, have great rhythm, so they can be fabulous musicians, recognize details in space, and masters of organizational systems. I mean, look at that beautiful table. You know, these are really creative, structured. The gift of beauty and structure is the essence of one of the many essences of what they can do. Okay, the purpose of the defense pattern, like all of them, it's a survival adaptation to shift attention away from an internal experience and onto an external set of rules and standards in order to feel safe,
stable and secure. We'll talk about why that is in a minute. And the action is to be correct, to find what is incorrect and fix it. So this is sort of their life task, to like, I'm going to correct everything. I'm going to fix everything in myself and in everybody around me and in my space around me till it's perfect. And that is the way that I experience any kind of safety, stability, or security. Unfortunately, it's not, it doesn't work. that way of being doesn't work. The goal is to get out of pattern. And how do we do this? By recognizing your authentic essence is more important than its form, more important than structure, more important than rules, your authentic essence. And for the rigid pattern people, they often don't even know what that is, what their own essence is, or what it means, because they haven't had that reflected back to them. The only thing that they've had reflected back to them is their achievements. So they don't know, they're not able to actually necessarily even feel their own feelings or feel their own essence. So they need to soften their bound up beliefs and structure. They need to be able to relax into their authentic, essential self, to really deeply relax. And then to identify their sense of self-worth and being rather than doing. Just the right to exist, the right to be, is enough. And to have that kind of feel, an experience of unconditional love. Okay, the gifts, form, structure, rhythm and timing, spatial awareness, beauty. They're masters of order and systems, just masters of it. It comes natural to them. They're able to be strong in focused attention, to be able to really be attentive, to stay very focused, to bring things to completion. They're balanced, they're stable, they're centered. They have a love of beauty. They create beauty. They can be oftentimes like walking works of art, just looking at how they like to dress or carry themselves. They're highly responsible and they're dependable and they're competent. If they tell you they're going to be somewhere, they'll be there. If they tell you what time they're going to be there, they'll be on time. They have integrity and they're great secret keepers. This is the person who has an ability to have strong containment. You tell them not to tell anybody, they won't. They have strong morals. They have integrity because they can live by the rules. Okay, the cause of the wound. Their experience of reality was negated or minimized, and external rules and performance and values were imposed upon them in order to receive love. So if he vacuums his room like a good boy, and look how neat and tidy it already is, right? And he's vacuuming. He's going to make it even more clean and tidy and perfect because he's going to get love from doing that. He's going to get, you know, approval. He's going to get, oh, what a good boy. You did a really good job there. He's going to get acknowledgement. And he or she's going to get told, here are the rules. You didn't do it right. You didn't do it properly. Okay, so she's going to get the instructions until she gets it right. So what's the developmental need at this age? And this is the age of about, you know, 5 to 7 years old or so. And then there's another corresponding age, stage to this in puberty, in adolescence. The request is, and the need is, what am I feeling inside? And to have that reflected back to me. So look at the delight that this little boy is having in the mud, right? So like, this is just pure delight and pure fun. Now imagine if he comes home from feeling like this and all exuberant and open and joyous, and his mother screams at him. He's never going to let himself get dirty again. And all of that excitement and all of that exuberance is going to get constricted and contract into his core. And so this is the experience of his core right here, just this exuberance in his core. And the task is to have reflected his or her authentic feelings. So you can see dad is really reflecting her experience, her joy, right? To have that validated, to have that acknowledged. So those are that's the developmental need at this stage, to have, again, so much reflection is needed to have validation of my authentic feelings. So what happens with the wound is children choose rules to earn love and approval, all right? So being right equals being good. So here we're so neat and tidy. You can kind of already look at these two little sweetie pie kids with this kind of constriction. Let's put all the toys in the box. Okay, there's already this feeling of containment and constriction and a little bit less of the joy of creativity. So here we have this is, look at how creatively I decorated my room by throwing everything everywhere, all over the place. But now I'm told I'm bad. And if I'm bad, bad equals wrong. Right equals good. Or I should have put this in reverse. Good equals being right. And bad equals being wrong. Now I'm bad, and what I did was wrong instead of fun. So, you know, maybe a more authentic, more healthful parenting might have been, oh, look at the creative way you decorated your room. Very good. Now we're going to clean it up. Okay. So instead of going right into punishment. So we want to look around at what I created, because this is a creative expression here. And we grow up learning that criticism equals caring. So this is a mother. I'm caring for you by telling you this was wrong, what you did. And so there's a constriction. There's a shutting down that happens. So fast forward. Now here we have the equivalent in prepubescence, or, you know, pre-adolescence, or just before puberty, right? So what happens is I am also have to be perfect. And I start to have this identification with myself as a sexual being. I'm having little breasts that grow and little hair growing on my, you know, around my pubis area. And I'm starting to maybe even have a little bit of mustache start to grow here. And my voice is cracking as I start to become a man. And there's this, you know, already learning how to be perfect, carry myself perfectly, be sexually expressive in my perfection. So what do I grow up to be? Perfect, successful, and sexy, or I'm worthless. So here we have, you know, the rigid, you know, person in the office, professional, both male and female. Here's what she grows up to become. Here's what he grows up to become. So the energy expressions were unconsciously disconnected from our authentic feelings. So this may be under here, but in actuality, in the pure rigid, he's not even going to necessarily know that he feels this. He's just going to feel maybe some anxiety or maybe tension. He's not going to necessarily even know that he's angry. And this is going to be confusing because there'll be a tension under here, and then whoever's dealing with this person who's got this big old plastic smile on his face, it's like something's wrong with this picture. Have you ever met somebody and had a conversation with them and they're acting all friendly and nice, and but there's a part of you that feels suspicious? Like, you know, there's something wrong with this picture, right? And we can't kind of put our finger on it. That's the rigid pattern. Okay, so again, here we have the smile, but underneath is this feeling of disdain. My persona is my authentic self. So she doesn't even know that she's actually feeling this. She just knows that okay, this is what I'm supposed to feel. You know, you're not supposed to feel upset with, you know, your employer. You're supposed to respect them. You're supposed to be kind to them. No negative feelings allowed. So we just disconnect from our shadow. We disconnect from any negative feelings that are in there. Constriction is in the core. So it may show up, as Lynn shared with us this morning, headaches. You know, having a headache, or somebody else who said, I'm not feeling well this morning. You know, maybe that's what this is. Yeah, it'll come in as a headache or a tension or back pain or migraines or anxiety. So these will often be the presenting complaints of the person with the rigid structure. So the inner thought patterns, what are they? Be appropriate. I have to find the perfect outfit. You know, I have a friend who every time they were going to go on a job or go meet somebody or go out somewhere, or, you know, they had to go and buy a new appropriate outfit. Oh, I don't have anything appropriate. So they'd go out and they'd buy whatever was the appropriate, perfect, had to be perfect outfit. There's a lot of judgment. She looks ridiculous. mistakes will be punished. No room for mistakes. If I make a mistake, I'll be punished. And they're terrified of making mistakes, just terrified. And I'll straighten her out, right? So in the guise of being helpful is my own discomfort with rigidity. Okay. So our adult defensive action look like this. Well, I'll reference rules because there's only one right way. Because that's what I was taught. You know, if love was withdrawn from me, if I did something, quote, wrong, if I was sloppy, love was withdrawn from me. So I learned very clearly that there's only one right way to do things. And order equals safety. It's kind of what Janine was saying. Just clean up the house, you know, to feel some sense of order or safety is equated with that. Mistakes must be punished. And you are what you do. This is a really heavy kind of statement, but this is their experience of reality. You are what you do. You are your achievements. Therefore, you must achieve. And if you don't, you're a failure. And you're unworthy, you're worthless, which is the really underlying terrifying feeling. And only appropriate feelings are acceptable. So are we breathing? I know this is heavy stuff. So just breathing, breathing. So what do they do with energy release? They suppress it. They suppress actually any incorrect sensations, which would be any, quote, negative, dark, shadow feelings, like what Jenny was talking about, right? I'm not allowed to have those feelings. I'm not allowed. In fact, I have shame around them, so I suppress them. I repress them. I constrict. I tighten around them. I pull them in. And I organize and control my environment in order to be able to get any kind of acknowledgement or value or sense of worth in the world. And I go for achievement. So the inner critic says, I have to do this right. Remember, the neutral objective observer is to be neutral, detached, and centered, like Roma was talking about, that bird up on the tree kind of watching us, ourselves, and our behavior. And it, the wise man and woman, it will be competitive in a healthy way when we're in our wise men, can be competitive. So these will be oftentimes Olympic athletes who will be really good with structure, really good with discipline. These are the people who will get up at 4 a.m. and train for 6 hours a day without fail, you know, or musicians who will practice for 6 hours a day, incredibly disciplined and very competitive, very action-oriented, very responsible and very reliable. And they will evoke in others jealousy. They could evoke competitiveness back. They could evoke a sense of worthlessness in others in response to it, because they have to be the best. Okay, the goal is to identify and feel safe with my authentic feelings. And this is really the goal of the person in this pattern, to feel safe, to be able to identify, to even be able to notice and to be able to go inward and find my authentic feelings. This is a challenge for them. And I'm going to talk about that more in a minute. Their gifts are, they're competent, they love beauty, they're organized, responsible, they're energized. So you can see, like, this is the rigid pattern in its gift expression. Just beautiful, loving, responsible, highly effective. Leadership is another one. Okay, so now we're going to talk about the healing of that in just a minute. So I want to come out of the screen share for a minute and just share a few more things that I wanted to say about this pattern, that oftentimes when somebody comes to you who has the rigid pattern, they're going to be usually the last kind of person who's going to show up to wanting help from you because they have it all together. The only time they're going to come probably is if there's a crisis, and then they'll only want to come temporarily. I'm just going to come for a couple of sessions because that's all I need, you know, because I really have it all together, and, you know, and I just need one or two, you know, patching things. And this is where we have to be a little bit careful, because when the person with the rigid defense comes to you, you might want to get, it might be easy to get caught in looking for what is wrong with them, because nothing is wrong with them. And they might want you to tell them, what's wrong with me? And remember, what we're looking for is what's right with the person. So really our work is just to help them to be in touch with their essence and with their authentic feelings. These are the people who are going to be jealous that you can cry in a movie and I can't. They're going to feel like, God, I wish I could feel the way you feel. They're jealous of spontaneity. They're envious of that kind of inner freedom. They're envious of people who feel deeply, because they're very disconnected from their deep, authentic feelings. They will minimize their problems. Whatever their problems are, they'll minimize them because they have shame of having a problem, because their fear is that they will be rejected for having a problem at all. And they're going to look for, what rule did I not follow? Or they'll come into you and just tell me the recipe of how to fix this. Like, just give me the steps of how to fix this. And I have a friend who has this, who's a classic rigid pattern, and her favorite store is IKEA. And she said, I love IKEA because when I buy something there, I take it home, I open the box, and I love how the instructions are so perfect. And you open the little packets and there's the exact number of screws that you need. And like, oh my God, I hate IKEA. You know, and I marvel at the fact that she loves IKEA. It's her favorite store. So this is just a beautiful example of, in a way, it's the gift of that rigid pattern. These people are going to oftentimes be intellectually very bright, because they pull all their energy up into their head. They're oftentimes very good looking. Their bodies will be very balanced, because that's what you do. You're centered, you're balanced, you live a healthy life, you eat the right foods, you get on a schedule. They will minimize their pain level, and they'll be oftentimes very disconnected from their pain level. And they're often, because they're such high achievers, they will often be too busy to even be aware that they have any underlying anxiety. And so their anxiety will be rejected and projected onto other people. I'm going to say that one more time. Their anxiety will be rejected and projected onto other people. And they'll go into blame. They'll do the habit of a lot of blame. Well, this would have been, if you had just done your job right, this wouldn't have happened. You know, so, and they at all costs cannot be wrong. This is very, very scary for them. So, if they are in touch with their anxiety, then their way out of that will be just to try to focus on something more healthy. So they'll say things like, well, I'm just not going to think about that. I'm going to focus on something healthy. I'm just going to do positive affirmations. And they will not deal with, or even necessarily know that they have, as Jenny put it so beautifully, a shadow self, right? They're not even going to know that I have those darker negative feelings, because they're going to have shame. They were punished for having a negative feeling. So they're going to be pretty disconnected from those negative feelings. And you're going to often hear them say, I just want to live a balanced life. I just want everything in order. I just want to live a balanced life. That means exercise. Here's my meal schedule. Here's my food plan. Here's my this, here's my that. So, and if that gets thrown off, they can get very anxious if their schedule gets thrown out of whack or out of order. Let's see what else I wanted to share about this. They will eventually notice some other indicators that are bothersome to them. For example, they can't feel for somebody. Like, they know that maybe their best friend gets cancer and they feel like dead inside around it. And this might be disturbing to them because they know they should feel something. I know I should feel something. Or, you know, it's my wedding anniversary, and I should feel really in love with my partner right now, and I don't feel anything. And because of that, and then if they go out and they get attracted to their secretary or attracted to somebody else in their life and in their world, they might become easily promiscuous because they have some feeling out there and they're like, oh, I feel love over here, but I don't feel love over there. And so there will often be a disconnect between the heart chakra and the second chakra, the sexual chakra. So the two will not be open at the same time. I'll either feel sexual or I'll have my heart be open, but I can't keep them open or if I do, it's short-lived, and then one or the other has to close because it's too scary and too messy to have both, and too vulnerable to have both chakras open at the same time, the heart and our sexuality. I just had a flashback on when I was in healing school and I was learning about all of this, and we used to have, there were hundreds of us in this healing school that I went to, the Barbara Brennan School of Healing, and we would have these dances when we would come together for like 5 times a year for 4-day intensive trainings. And for 4 years I did that. And so every Saturday night there would be this dance and we'd all be like so pent up and wound up. By the time we would get to that Saturday night dance, we'd all be out on the dance floor and like all chakras open and big loud music and what would be expressed on that dance floor was pretty intense. There were people I'd feel like, wow, that there'd be this sexual chakra would be wide open, but nothing here, you know, like I'm not going to connect to you other than, you know, hey, maybe we'll go have a good roll in the hay after the dance tonight. So I won't say any more about that. I won't go any further about that right now. But it was fun. I had a good time. But it was really, you know, it's a very interesting thing how all of our patterns get expressed in different scenarios and different situations. So sexual relationships are often superficial or short-lived, or what'll happen is we had a couple at the school together. We called them Barbie and Ken because they looked like Barbie and Ken. They were our perfect rigid stereotypes, and they got married. Barbie and Ken got married, and they got divorced later on, but they got married, and they were absolutely the perfect couple. They looked perfect together. Their bodies were perfect, and everybody was jealous of them, and they were, you know, they're even in the Hands of Light book. There's a picture of them, the perfect couple in an energy heart-shaped energy bubble. On the break, I'll try to find that for you. But so that's why he talks about oftentimes rigid people with a rigid pattern will partner together because they can safely not go deep into those kind of scarier, messier emotions. There'll be sort of a silent agreement. We're not going to really talk about our feelings, our negative feelings. We'll just stuff them all, constrict them all, and make this silent agreement that we won't talk about that or go there. So it's very painful. So, and just noticing this too, as you talk about it, because what I'm really missing is my real self, my essential self. So I think those are the main points that I wanted to make about that. So now let's see if there's anything else I needed to say before we go into the Q&A. So how do we heal this pattern? We have to feel our real feelings. We have to get messy. We have to have permission to get messy. We have to have permission to play and to not be in control and to bend the rules and to have flexibility. I had a client who, I gave her an instruction to go out and play in the mud with her kids. And she did it. She did it. We have to also relax and trust that there is a perfection in the higher order. So even in this, you know, horrible thing that's happening with the rainforest, you know, there's a part of me that just says, okay, there's some higher reason for this. I have no idea what it is. It doesn't mean we're not accountable in our human ways and every way we can to be responsible for it, but there's some bigger picture too that's involved that I can understand. Okay. So So let's take some questions, and then we're going to do an experiential piece after the break. So any questions about this?
Yes, I have a question.
Yeah.
Where do personality disorders fall within this pattern or any of the patterns?
That's a great question. Personality disorders are really tough, and they are, you could say, Martha, in my experience of them, they are the extreme end of the spectrum of each of these patterns. So to give you all an example, let's take, well, I think Chris mentioned she had a couple family members who have OCD. So OCD would be a, I don't know if it falls under personality disorder or not. I can't remember. But yeah, it does. Okay. Thank you. So, OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder, right, is an extreme expression of the rigid pattern. And so, with the aggressive pattern or the challenger defender pattern, narcissism, right, which is a personality disorder, or bipolar, let's totally blanking on some of the names of them at the moment, but anyway, those are borderline. That's one I was trying to think of. Borderline, who is our dear president, is the extreme end of the personality disorder spectrum, the extreme end of the challenger defender, right? And so, you know, I mean, you got to admire the guy's fearlessness, and he's also extreme borderline personality disorder, flagrantly displayed all over the place, and the damage that can be done through that kind of personality disorder. So I do think that there is a relationship to the wounding here. Severe attachment disorder is a merging pattern, extreme expression of the merging pattern. Loss of attachment that didn't happen in that merging pattern. So so these are all very much, I think, related.
Well, once you're extreme in these patterns, is there opportunity to really reverse some of it?
Absolutely. I absolutely think that's the case for, it's harder. And the longer and the older we are, the harder it is, because the longer we've practiced the wounding of the pattern. But I think, you know, anything is possible. All, you know, healing is possible. The desire has to be there, at least to some extent. But our acculturation, and also, I can't go into this, but I think karma plays a role in it. And whether the circumstances will present themselves to help support a healing for that person. Like, I remember many years ago when I was in healing school, many, many years ago, this was like in the 80s, or yeah, I guess it was the 80s. And I remember where there was a couple in our class who were from Canada, and they had a school, an elementary school, it was not a Montessori school, but it was an alternative school. And they were so loving, this couple, and they were so conscious. And the whole way they worked their elementary school was such a place of love, that when a child would come in that was hurting for whatever reason, and they didn't even know necessarily why. And we're talking about maybe 9 years old, 10-year-old kids, fourth grade, fifth grade. All the children would gather around that hurting child. They would just gather around them and, you know, touch them and hug them and play with them and not talk about anything until the kid felt better. And they would just move onward with it. And it was so beautiful. Like, I got goosebumps, my hair standing up right now just thinking about it. We have innately in us a desire to heal and to know how to heal. And when there's communities, enough community support for it, anything can happen. But part of the reason groups like this, like what we're in right now, and experiences like the November training are so important, is because sometimes it takes a tribe, it takes a community to heal a deep dysfunctional wounding that happens in us. So like we are in the process of trying to recreate for ourselves a functional family experience that most of us never had. And there's one kind of healing that we can do one-on-one with another individual therapist or healer, but a whole different kind of healing happens in community, happens in a tribe. That's why, you know, before so much alcoholism penetrated into the Native American lifestyle of the Native Americans in this country, they had the healthiest extended families because they were a tribe. If one child started to deviate, you know, 20 adults would, like, you know, be there to catch that person and help them and support them and discipline them and guide them. You know, they would go from one auntie's hut to the next to get something that they needed. And, you know, these kinds of systems unfortunately don't exist so much anymore. So when we as a group come together, the kind of healing that you all will go out and provide to others, it's like spokes on a wheel. It just exponentially expands and expands and expands and touches more and more and more people. So we have to have a hub of a wheel where we can come together, get fed, get nourished, and heal on those deeper levels, recreate our functional family so that we can then go out and provide that to others. The more trauma that happens in the world, which is, God knows, happening everywhere right now, the more that's needed. And just on that note, I'll just say one other thing. I checked in not too long ago with the woman. I think some of you were around when I talked about how there was this hostage incident that happened in LA at a Trader Joe's. And one of my students, one of my graduates from the Lionheart School in LA, was held hostage in that Trader Joe's when that happened. And she became the person who was instrumental in helping the guy surrender to the police. The man who was holding them all hostage handed her his gun and let her handcuff him. And she was the interface between the police and the people who were held hostage in the Trader Joe's for, like, I don't know, it went on for about 5 or 6 hours, I think. So she then, with a few other of the Lionheart Healers graduates, formulated a support group for the people who were in there, who were held hostage in that, who were traumatized by it. And Trader Joe's was incredibly supportive and grateful to them because nobody sued them as a result of it. These people came through that. For over a year, she worked with these people, all volunteer-based, and they helped them to heal from it. So the possibilities, the potential of this kind of work is incredible, especially around trauma. So, yeah.
I'm curious, what do you know what pattern she is?
The woman who was doing this? Yeah, I would say she was a combination of the leaving pattern and a little bit, I'd say a little bit of the merging pattern. Leaving and merging, I think, were her predominance, actually. And she was a trauma survivor herself. And she said, I gave her a lot of support after this happened. She reached out to me. This is why I was so privy to so much of what it was like for her. But she said, I wouldn't have been able to do this without the Lionheart training. She said, I did not, she had to then process her own experience from it, but there were people who were absolutely traumatized and frozen in fear and terror who, you know, she had to step over a dead body to get a jacket that was hanging on the wall for the shooter because he was freezing cold. I mean, and she went and did that. It's just incredible what she did, how she managed to stay present through that situation. So, other questions about the rigid pattern?
Oh, I just have a little question.
the OCPD. Mm-hmm. So I think I have OCPD, maybe a little bit OCD, and I know there's a difference between the two. So I really identify self a lot with this rigid pattern. I think it's probably my secondary predominant. Mm-hmm. It's just I'm not sure this OCPD thing, whether, you know, that's connected to this pattern as well.
I would say so. I find a lot of relationship with OCD. And what is OCD? OCD,
it's the same, but it's a personality disorder.
Okay, that's what I thought, yeah.
Yes, it's a personality. That's what
it's Yeah. I think the main thing to focus on, Jenny, for you would be to really keep going into the discovery of what is your authentic feelings, you know, your real essence, your essential self. And there's another piece to healing this, which is about self-forgiveness. And I'll talk about that more in a minute, but I want to take us into an experience now. So are we ready for that? So actually, let's take a little break. Let's take just a quick, we're really kind of ran over here. So let's try to be real quick with our break, a 5 minute break. And we'll come back in 5 minutes at, let's make it 1220 or 1221, okay? And we'll do an experiential piece.
I'm reading.
Hey, Laura.
Yeah.
What was the announcement I missed at the very, very beginning?
Oh, it's about next week. I'm going to say it again at the end. We're going to meet on our master class link rather than our integration group link because it's our last session. So we're all going to come together for a final overview. And then we're going to do, it'll be a 2-hour class rather than an hour and 15 because it's going to be our final review. And we'll do a breakout group with your small group from the masterclass, but sign into this same link for next week.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so we're almost back. Any other questions while we're waiting for everybody else to get back on board?
Yeah,
go ahead.
Do you have any suggestions for working with the idea that value equals achievement and doing? That's the thing I struggle with the most with this pattern.
Yeah, it's painful. And I think one of the main things for the rigid pattern person is the constant reminder that it's okay to be in a process and to not, and to let go of the result of the outcome so much. Because usually with a person with a rigid pattern, they're going to be very goal oriented. Like they'll know, okay, I want to achieve .. whatever that thing is. And okay, great. You do now. And I should, you'll hear a lot of the shoulds or they'll be thinking a lot of shoulds. I should be able to do it in 2 weeks. Well, what if it takes 2 years? You know,
right.
how would that be? You know, like, so right. Focusing on process and more than result with them and with yourself might be helpful.
Okay, thanks.
It's a great question. Sure. So any other questions while we're waiting for the last few to pop back on?
Okay. I have a quick question.
Sure.
I'm not, it might be very basic for some people, but one of the issues with this one is hiding or not being in tune with your feelings. So I definitely have some of that. What are some exercises that I could do to help myself get back in touch with my real feelings?
We're going to do one of those in just a minute.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Okay, I want to just talk real quick before we go into the experiential piece. I just want to talk a little bit more about some things that I didn't mention the last time around this, there we go. What's going to happen in the November training as a practitioner that might be helpful for you guys. So, remember that the course is coming up. It happens only once a year that I'm going to be doing a live training. And this next one will be November 1st through the 6th here in Austin, Texas at this beautiful retreat center on 200 acres of land. So, So I want to talk about the next problem that shows up for us. So
Now that you understand, or at least have an introduction to, the five personality patterns, how to apply them to your practice. So this is what's going to happen in the training, is you're going to actually learn how to apply them. When you've got a client that walks in and you get a sense of them, okay, you know, maybe they're this pattern, maybe they're that pattern, you know, how do I even recognize, how do I apply what I've learned here to my practice with clients? So that's one of the things that will show up, is you're going to have an incredibly, it's so effective, this process of true deep listening. And also kind of even an answer to your question, Valerie, like, how do I do that? How do I get more in touch with my feelings? One of the things is, you know, many of us pride ourselves on being good listeners, but I'm telling you, you will find listening happen on a whole different level when you come to do this training. You're going to think you already do that, and you're going to learn, oh my God, how much I missed that. So that's one of the things, is just listening very deeply, but not just listening to the words, but feeling and sensing and tracking the movement of energy through the system. And the way that we do that is actually teachable. It's actually learnable. Believe it or not. I mean, and I, the first few times I taught this to people, I actually couldn't believe that it could be learned as quickly as it was. Now, mastery, that's another thing, but you will learn the process, you'll learn the technique, you'll be able to start doing it with each other. And especially for those of you who have a practice, you'll be able to start doing it with your clients to help them break out of their destructive pattern. When somebody comes into you and they have a weight problem, or they have diabetes, or they have, you know, or they're stuck in some kind of, you know, or they've got fibromyalgia, or they've got, whatever they might have, a food-related issues that many of you nutritionists are dealing with, and you know there's an emotional component to it, and you don't know what to do with that part, you will know what to do with that part from this work. So, because you're going to feel the client may be on an edge of a breakthrough, so what do? How do you actually help them break through? You're going to have to get messy. You're going to have to get in the soup with them. You're going to help them through that breakthrough by helping them break through the energy block that's there psychologically and emotionally for them. And it is not that hard to do. It absolutely can be learned. If you feel drained after sessions, you're going to get energy self-care. You're going to get a beautiful set of energy self-care exercises. You're going to get what I call the healer's prep and the healer's clearing. How to do that? It's a super simple technique. You're going to be able to teach these simple techniques to your clients to help them. If your client is stuck in a self-destructive pattern and you feel stuck with how to get them out of that, you're going to have ways in which to do that. And if you have trouble creating a trusting bond with different difficult personalities, you're going to find your own blind spot through this work with the class. The class is highly experiential. There's not a ton of me talking or anybody talking. It's mostly experience. You're going to get put in different exercises that you're going to do with each other, and you're going to have experiences, and you're going to go very deep with your group because of that. So whether you're doing this as a practitioner or whether you're doing this for your own healing, because of the experiential learning process, it's going to help you really change. And you need a healing response, not a colluding response, when your client gets emotional. You don't know what to do when they get emotional. You know, many of us have the instinct to want to try to take that away, put our, oh, it's okay, don't cry, you know, like we'll immediately try to shut down that energy and movement. So you want to be able to learn how to respond in a way that's healing and helpful to them to get them out of their own patterns. Okay, so remember their $400 discount code that's available until August 31st. Please write this down. Think about this, whether you want to do it. You've got another week to hop on board for this. So please, please do come. I'm so moved by the level of sharing and the level of work that's happening here. I think most of you are already registered for it, which I'm just thrilled and delighted. So I want to just encourage you all to do that. Okay, so take a deep breath. We're going to go into an experience now. So you're going to need a piece of paper and a pencil, and I hope you've all got my little note beforehand, and you need your ruler. Okay, you need your ruler handy and your pen and your paper handy. And the first thing you're going to do is, and I'm going to tell you these two instructions first, and then I'll have you go and do it. So just listen closely. In a minute, when I say go, you're going to go into your bathroom with your pen and your paper, and you're going to make a list of only three things, not four, just three. And you're going to write them down neatly on your pen, with your pen and paper, on your paper, of three things that need to either be cleaned, organized, or fixed. Cleaned, organized, or fixed. Just make a list, okay, of three things in your bathroom that need to be cleaned, organized, or fixed. Then you're going to take your ruler, and you're going to take a measure. You're going to measure a 1 square foot on your counter or on your floor or wherever, and you're going to take your little spray bottle, your spray bottle and your cloth that I asked you to also have ready, your cleaning bottle and your cloth, and you're going to just clean that 1 square foot, not outside the lines, just that 1 square foot. You're going to clean it so good that it's going to look different from the rest of the area around it. Okay, so you have literally 90 seconds to do that. Go. I'll see you back here in 90 seconds. Go. So, Lynn, if you're still with us, you might want to thank you. Now I have, yeah. Okay.
I didn't realize you paused it.
I paused it during the break.
Okay.
So, yeah, so unfortunately we missed the instructions. That's okay. All right, so let's do this now. Lynn, can you put us in breakout groups just for 5 minutes so we can do, because I know we're a little behind now, so we can do some sharing about that experience. So just do 3 breakout groups, and we'll only have 5 minutes, so we might not all be able to share, but I'd like everybody as much as possible to.
Yep. Everybody's all set up, so here we go.
Great. Okay, we can continue sharing here in any case till everybody's back. So while we're waiting for the rest of the group, anything else anybody want to share on this? Yeah, go ahead, Christina.
I think I've been realizing in this class that this rigid pattern has really gotten me out of crises when I needed it, especially like my moment of trauma almost 10 years ago when I was doing field work abroad. And I was in this moment, like my life was in danger. You know, I was alone in my home with an intruder and my mind got so clear and I just got very focused on survival. What do I see? What do I do? I really didn't feel fear. I didn't feel panic. I just got really clear and focused and I handled it and I managed it. And of course to heal afterwards. But in the moment, I think it saved me.
Yeah, I agree. You did not freeze. You know, you got real functional and good for you. That's right. Mm-hmm. It's an incredible gift, this pattern. And these are also the aggressive pattern, challenger defender pattern, and the pattern are very oftentimes leaders, teachers, leaders, mm-hmm. politicians. We need this pattern right in our world to function well. And so that's great. And we'll talk more about, I'm hoping we'll have time. I want to talk a little bit more about to do a little exercise about forgiveness that is important for this pattern. And I know there were a couple other questions that came through the chat that haven't been addressed yet either. So looks like we are recording now, which is good. Yeah, so anything else while we're waiting for the rest of the gang to return?
I could share a little bit more about that rigid pattern. I think that I really had a lot of the rigid pattern until I was, like, at 37, I had, like, a total physical, pure exhaustion breakdown. And I think it was because of that, like, the situation I was in. I had so much work responsibility and just my lifestyle was so intense. And I had to make sure that I did every single thing, which led to just a complete physical meltdown. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really just how I learned that, like, I just can't exist that way.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's great. You know, I mean, that's great that you shared that because it's unfortunately very true of the rigid pattern person. They won't seek that help until there is some kind of complete collapse and breakdown of their structures, because their structures are what have been their primary way of functioning in the world. And they're terrified to go into their authentic feelings, into their authentic self, because that was never allowed. It's equated with rejection. It's equated with being bad, being wrong. And look how it brought you out of that. I mean, that was very brave to come through to the other side of that. Now we don't want to have to break down to be able to reach out for help, any of us. So that's the gifts of learning options and opportunities with this pattern.
I'm noticing that I'm actually envious of the gifts of organization, follow through, setting.
Mm-hmm.
Because my patterns are the earlier ones before Will came on board. And I really found that just that educational piece about the earlier patterns get set in before the will and strength come on board, and with the later ones, they've got it, you know.
Yeah.
It's very challenging for me to have that follow through and clarity and focus that I find rigids have with hardly efforting, it seems like.
Yeah, yeah, it's a great point that you're bringing up, you know, and I hear that longing, that desire to, like, have that kind of will energy in our system and in our spine. And, you know, I just, when I listen to you, Carol, I just think my reaction or response to you is, I can't even imagine how far you've probably already come with regards to that, to where it must have been or might have been for you. And it will continue to become easier, you know. And so, you know, yeah, surrounding yourself with some good rigid friends will help you and help them, because you'll model that authenticity for them. Mm-hmm. You know, I think this is one of the ones that can be really fool us to the degree of pain that people who have this pattern actually feel. Mm-hmm. They will be somebody who maybe you'll see one tear trickle down their cheek, and they're feeling incredibly deep emotion, but they will not emote the way somebody who has the earlier patterns. Mm-hmm. And so oftentimes one of the traps we fall into as practitioners is minimizing the feeling reaction that they are having. Like, we might even miss it because it'll be so subtly expressed, but it's there and it's deep. And they'll be so happy if they even have a tear trickle down their cheek that they're feeling anything. But it will be very deep, a very deep experience for them. Oftentimes that will be something very vulnerable, very deep. Mm-hmm. So it's something that took me a long time to begin to recognize as a a healer and a therapist myself, to recognize the depth of emotion that people who had this pattern were actually in and experiencing.
I think that's why, in a way, this woman and I are pretty good friends, because she's just being in her presence. By osmosis, in a way, I kind of feel like I can be more organized. And then when she's in my presence, I might ask, I have asked her several times, you know, you look like you're feeling something right now. I'm wondering what that might be. And that really helps her a lot. And so it's kind of a win-win.
That's great. That's right. Very good. Good, good, good. What we've lost the other groups in the ethers here, I think. So I had two other, I had another analogy I wanted to share with everybody, but I wanted to wait till we all got back. I'm open to staying on a little bit longer if we need to at the end of the call today, because I want us to be able to do our wrap up. I'm not even sure how to, because Lynn's in charge here. Let me see if I can shoot her a little message via chat. Okay, let's see if she'll see that, hopefully. Okay. Any other questions or shares about this? Yeah, go ahead, Amy.
So just sitting through this today has been really hard. First, my eyes started watering, which could just be allergies. But then I started getting itchy, like all over. And just like really, and my back started to hurt. And I just wanted to get up and leave. Because I've had to deal with rigid people in that thought process my whole life. And I'm just not, I do have tendencies towards that in different ways. Like being on time with things and being courteous, but not the deep rigid pattern.
Yeah, yeah. So it's great to be curious about the reactivity, you know, just to keep noticing that, like, what's that, I, you know, that it just always rings in my head, what we reject, we project, right? So, you know, what's rejectable about the person's behavior that I'm not liking, that I don't want to be around right now? It's like, I'm so thinking about this one person for me that I mentioned before that I have to, you know, do this project with every week. And, you know, she has a lot of rigidity. She has a lot of rigidity and she invades me with her rigidity. It's like, okay. And she'll come up really close to me. It's like, well, what are you doing? Are you doing it this way or are we doing it that way? And it's like, get away from me. And I just feel all this reactivity. So we want to keep being curious about that. Like, what is it that we want to just go away from? To keep finding out about ourselves in that. Okay, so I know there was a question. I want to just clarify one thing, and then I know there's a question about boxes, and Janine, I want you to clarify that for me a little bit more too, before, so I can respond to it. But I want to give this analogy that might be helpful for the rigid pattern. And let's just say that there's a woman. There's a bunch of people standing on a street corner and a beer truck goes by and the beer truck runs over somebody and that person's lying on the street and they've been killed, right? And the crowd is standing there going, one person is going, oh my God, this is horrible. This woman is dead. All right. This woman got run over. Somebody go and help her. This is a tragedy. This is horrible. This is terrible, right? And another person says, you know, look at the driver. He's drunk. He's driving that beer truck. He's drunk. And, you know, he can't even like see straight and he's fallen all over the place. And somebody should go and, you know, help that man. You know, he's hurt too. And so the first one was on the physical level. The woman is dead. And the second one is on the energetic level. Oh, that guy's in trouble too. Let's go help him. He's staggering around. And the third woman says that's watching this, or the man that's on the street corner says, oh, it's all perfect. It's all in divine order. You know, it was their time to die. They got run over, and if they were, you know, stepped out in the street, nobody else did. This was that person's time to go. So the question becomes, who's right and who's wrong? Well, it depends on what level of existence you're looking at. On the physical level, there's a right and a wrong. On the energetic level, there's an acceptance of what is. And on the spiritual level, there's a perfect order. So all three are true in a way, you could say, but and all three realms of existence, the physical, the energetic, and the spiritual, have a place. And all three need to be explored and also incorporated in our viewpoint. And also one of the ways that we can do that is, what can I do that we can assess that is, what can I do something about and what can I do nothing about? And that can also be a guidepost to help us know what level of reality might be helpful for me in this situation right now. If the woman is dead, nothing's going to bring her back. So what level of reality must I work with to be able to come to terms with or come to peace about it? If I see plastic everywhere, maybe part of my goal is to work on the physical level. I don't use plastic anymore, or I bring my own plastic, or I pick up plastic. Or so we want to look at whatever realm of existence we're working on. Is it the physical realm? The guy's leg is broken. Okay, he needs a cast. Or are we working on the energetic realm? You know, do I need to, you know, clear the negative energy out of their field or my field? Or am I working on the spiritual level? There's nothing I can do about this but turn it over to a higher power. Another piece, and I know we're going to be out of time in just a minute here, so I'm happy to go over about another, you know, 10 or 15 minutes if there are more questions. I want to answer your question, Janine, about the boxes, but maybe we can just do a closing word just to go around real quickly, just a parting word of whatever you're feeling right now as a closure for us, and then I'll stay on to answer any further questions that there might be. Before we leave, I just want to remind you all that next week we're going to sign on through the group, this same email link for the masterclass, and then we'll do breakout groups to have closure of our integration groups. So please do not sign into your integration group link. Sign into this class link, okay? So, Gail, do you want to just do a closing word?
I don't really have much to say.
Just a one word of how you feel right now. Literally, we're just doing one word.
Okay. I can't think of one.
That's okay. We can come back to you too. Okay. Okay, Christina.
I guess curious.
Okay, thank you. Amy.
Diving deep.
Good, thank you. Chris.
I'd say informed.
What was that?
Informed.
Informed, thank you. Carol.
Grateful.
Thank you. Angelica. we can come back to you too.
Confused.
Okay. Roma.
At peace.
Thank you. Jeanette.
Relaxed.
Thank you. Pooja.
Resilient.
Okay. Janine. Thank you, Pooja. Janine.
I'm thinking love.
I'm sorry?
I'm thinking love.
That's love. Thinking right now. Yeah. Thank you. Ritu.
Contented.
Contented. Thank you. Valerie.
Touched and reminded.
Thank you. Sarah.
Playfully curious.
Okay, thank you. Valerie.
Integrating.
Thank you. Jenny.
Fascinated and amazed.
Okay, thank you. Martha?
Have a lot of admiration for all the diversity.
Thank you. Lori?
Hungry for more.
Thank you. Kimberly?
Feel very connected.
Thank you. Jill?
A little overwhelmed thinking of all five personality patterns.
Thank you. Lynn?
Tired.
Okay, thank you, everybody. So I'm going to stay on for a bit to answer any more questions that there might be. And I will see all of you next week. And remember, the 31st is your deadline to register for the class for that discount. Please do and or stay on if you have any questions for me about that. And it's just a delight to work with all of you again. I'm really, my word will be touched, touched. Thank you. Okay. Bye. Janine, your question about the boxes.
Yeah, I found the page. It's on 327. In the first part, sorry, maybe towards the second part, may describe what Martha was asking about the OCD and stuff for personality patterns. But being able to, unable to think outside the box, what says the rigid pattern people is not confined to their muscular tensions, but even extends into their ways of thinking and perceiving. But it's saying how, like, if there's not room in a box, that they go into this internal earthquake. So would that relate to more of the OCD type of person that, I mean, you really have to have your day listed and all of that? Or how would this work with, I think the next page works with merging pattern. You have it, I want it, I'll get you to give it to me. So that's me. I did that. Boy, there was a guy I wanted. He was your boyfriend. Sorry. I wanted him. I got him. Because I looked good, knew how to talk, you know. And it kind of scares me, just that, this little part here, that little mind chatter.
Yeah. So is there a question around this? I hear you that it scares you, that you're recognizing it in yourself, that it's a pattern that you've run, it sounds like, before, that you really, you know, related to. So tell me, what is there a question in that?
Yeah, that's my analytical mind, because they use the word boxes. I'm thinking, when I have a thought come in, I'm putting it in certain categories. And I'm trying to figure out the terms to relate to that so I can understand it better. Does that make sense?
The terms to relate to?
Yeah, like it's saying knowing, or I can't, I shouldn't. The basic terms we go through when we're trying to figure out our next step because we're so rigid.
Yeah, that's the language. Should, shouldn't, could have, couldn't. Those are all great indicators of rigidity, especially should, shouldn't, that kind of thing is, you know, definite indicators of that you're in a rigid pattern, stuck in a rigid pattern.
So, yeah. As a practitioner having a client and they're using those words and those come up, you can tell that they're in pattern.
That's correct. Yeah.
So is this the biggest pattern for that term? Stop shoulding on yourself? Like, is that?
It could be. You know, I mean, we do a lot of shoulding. A lot of people do a lot of shoulding in my experience. But you're going to learn in the transpersonal counseling class, actually, is how the language of should and should not is actually what I call the yellow brick road to our core beliefs. And you're going to learn how to track that into the core belief. And so the core belief may or may not have its root in a rigid pattern. And remember that these patterns are just a map of what you are not. They are not what you are. right? Mm-hmm. So they're just a pattern into freeing up more of your essential self. Whether you play out the rigid pattern or the merging pattern or the enduring pattern, what the shoulds are going to do for us as the practitioner is provide the yellow brick roadway into what is the true core essence that we've lost connection with or touch with. As we land in that core essence, that energy is going to start to move through the body. And when that happens, the client's going to feel, first of all, fear, because this sensation of it, what it is it's the sensations of aliveness that we disconnected from because we weren't allowed to feel them, or they were too scary to feel or too overwhelming to feel. But in actuality, they are our life force. Once we know that with our intellect, this is where our intellect serves us as adults in a healing system, because the intellect has to override the old message. When your intellect goes, oh, this is really scary, and you got to have a part of you that goes, no, it's really not. It's okay. It's safe. And it's important. And it's necessary for you to heal to feel this. It's mm-hmm. a little bit what you were talking about, Jenny. It's like now you're able to feel some of these things, this shadow thing that was so awful and scary and shameful. And now that we can feel it, it's like, whoa, wait a minute. This is great. I'm actually alive in this place. I'm actually free in this place. I'm actually human.
So it's being able to have the awareness to catch ourselves in the moment, saying those words or remembering back. Anyway, the time gets shorter, and when you start to realize your pattern and how you can move out of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you also mentioned about the heart chakra, and I missed the other area. Like you said, one can be only open and one closed, and you were
the sexual chakra, the sacral second chakra, which is our sexuality. So there will often be a split between the heart and our sexuality in this pattern. So there could be a lot of promiscuity without heart, or there could be a love relationship, but without, like, this will be the person who will lose interest in their partner sexually after a while because of the split. I can't be aroused by you because I'm in love with you. It's the Madonna and the whore thing in Catholicism.
I think you mentioned something else, because my mind, I just kind of zoned out, because what you said, it brought me back to my sister when she was at City of Hope with leukemia. Like, I could not go see her. I was there for her in the beginning, but I stayed for like 2-3 months. And then finally, when that was going to be it, she fell. I went immediately, but during this time, I just kept busy, just busy, 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 sun up to sun down. And then, so I ignored those feelings of, you know, I mean, I know it's death. It's kind of extreme, but other people will be, no, you have to be there, where I was like, no. It's not the right timing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. That's a great example, right? The rigid pattern person will oftentimes be a workaholic, will oftentimes be a person who will distract themselves through work, because that's legitimate. That falls within my rules of acceptability. That makes it, oh, I have to support myself and my family, so I have to work, so I can't be there for you. So that makes it acceptable to, you know, that's within the rules, right? The permissible rules of not being available. Kimberly, did you want to jump in with anything on this?
Well, I was talking to my group about, in our small group, one of my favorite examples of a rigid pattern client was, so constricted within her system that I put her on the massage table and I was having her move her body, you know, and I was moving her body, you know, the instruction was to let me do it, and she couldn't do it. She couldn't do it. She thought she was. Mm. She's like, I am. So I got on the table and had her move my body. And when she had the physical sensation of what it was like to be loose and fluid, she just broke down and sobbed because she didn't know. So I was just reiterating to my group how important it is to have an experience. Like, intellectually she thought she was doing it right. Yeah. Energetically she wasn't. So having the actual physical experience is what reshapes, right? We have to have experience to reshape the pattern. So it was one of my favorite memories.
Yeah, that's a great example. Great example.
I have a question. I guess maybe we're going to go into this in November, but here's one. You're trying to improve others who don't want it. So would that pop, that would come up, right? With somebody who's very rigid, like they know they have to have this diet, but they just won't change it, right?
Yeah.
But I find myself trying to help people. They come to me and then they realize, oh, I don't want your help. And they, you know, disappear. That's where you learn to charge people.
Yeah. Well, you know, the interesting thing for the rigid is you can't force anybody to do anything, and especially the rigid. What you can do is you can invite them and try to keep the focus on their feelings. And also, you know, whatever their goal is, I very often will keep coming back to their presenting goal. Why are you here? Well, I want to feel more open-hearted. Okay, great. How are you doing with that? Well, sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. Okay, so let's see what would it feel like, you know, then we just keep working with that. You'll learn how to do that in the class.
Yeah. And take notes, right?
You can take notes.
That's my key. How do you do that and keep track of everything somebody's saying?
Well, that's why people take this work time and time again. It takes a while. Yeah, it comes in layers. But look at how much you've already gotten just from this. Really, it's incredible.
It is.
Yeah.
What's an example of a safe way for a rigid to experience getting over a mistake or being okay with making a mistake? Like just maybe it's too complicated and it would have to take place over time, but I'm just thinking of my own ways that I started being, it's okay to make a mistake. And for me, it was having it reflected back. Somebody saying, it's okay. Just keep going. It's fine.
Yeah. Sometimes what I use as an example is I ask the person if it were, I might even say to them, you know, would you, Lori, ever say that to me, Laura? Would you ever say to Laura, oh, Laura, you know, you screwed up, forget it. You know, like, let's just write you off. The way they talk to themselves is so harsh.
Yes.
So I will oftentimes say, would you really tell that to me? No,
so
I wouldn't
very similar
ever.
To what Kimberly did on the table with her client is you.
Exactly.
Have them get in the other shoes.
Exactly. Yeah.
Is that hard for them to do?
I think it's just brand new. Like this experience that Kimberly gave to that client, she'd never had that before. Mm-hmm. It's like, wow, you know, it's, and even to think about it, like from somebody else's vantage point, you know, like, would you really say that to, you wouldn't talk to your child?
That's nothing they would normally think to do. That's nothing that they would just naturally think to do, is put themselves in someone else's shoes. Or
they're often rigid pattern people are just often so in their head, and it's black and white, right? There's not a lot of gray. It's good or bad, black and white. The brain is a polar organ. There's left and right, black and white, right and wrong, light and dark, good and bad. And so I like to have them shift down into their heart chakra, shift down into their body, into their heart, where it's not polar, right? There is black and white. There is gray. Yeah. And helping them learn to tolerate the gray. It's not so black and white. It's not this or that. I like to do.
I would assume them tapping into the right side of the brain, art, dance, all that would help balance and be that allow them to be able to see the gray is okay.
to be silly.
Because maybe they're so stuck.
People, yeah. I love for rigid pattern people to try being silly too, because often they're so proper and acceptable. What's okay, you know? And so you're right with movement, move, be creative, play, get outside of the box, like you said, Janine. Like
that childlike curiosity and all that.
Very interesting.
I think yesterday I went to the chiropractor and Philo is doing muscle testing and he was seeing all kinds of stuff. So finally he did the arm thing and he told me to ask myself or say, I love myself. Oh my gosh. Boom. Nothing there. And he did a couple times. It's like, oh my gosh. Okay. So he puts the green glasses on me and then he does this stuff with me and, it's funny because I was seeing green and I thought I had a heart connection. I thought I was receiving it. It was telling me, you're not loving yourself. So dealing with this rigid pattern is. Yeah. And the
vertigo. That really the core of all the patterns is not loving yourself or not being in touch with that.
Yeah.
It's for the same thing.
Self-love.
The answer is same for everybody, no matter what your pattern is.
Yeah. But I'm also like vertigo is going on. As I've been dealing with reading this breathing pattern, my balance is all off. So,
it's amazing, huh?
Yeah. Thank you so much for.
You're so welcome. All right. Well, thank you, everybody. It was lovely to see you all. See you next week. Have a great rest of your weekend.
Bye.
Bye.